Apollo Control Houston. We acquired TV at 78 hours, 24 minutes, 11 seconds. Currently, our orbital parameters show 104. Altitude, an apolune of 170.2, a perilune of 61.3 nautical miles, those are.
Eleven, this is Houston. Would you care to comment on some of these craters as we go by?
Roger, we're approach path to ignition. This is equivalent to 13 minutes before ignition, and we're at about 80 degrees, I guess. 83 degrees east.
Would
that correspond to
the
location you're holding in
present time? Roger, we're showing your present position is about 77, 76 degrees east, looking back towards the east.
Hey, you should be looking back at Smythe Zeno.
Roger.
We've now heard from all three Apollo 11 crew members during this television pass. The individual talking earlier was Neil Armstrong.
Radar Schubert and Gilbert Yu is in the center right now. And this comes up at about a little over 12 minutes before power descent. Instead of looking back at it, we'd be looking straight down at it at that time.
Roger. And we show you an altitude now of about 110 miles, and of course you'd be considerably lower at the initiation of power descent.
Okay, Houston, look at register 3 on the disky, theta. Theta is increasing toward my desired of 315, and I'll let the hand controller alone here, and I'll bet you it reverses itself.
Roger, 11, we're watching the disky now, and still coming in beautifully on the TV.
Okay, there's on the right side of the screen at the present time, there's a triple crater with a small crater between the first and second, and the one at the bottom of the screen is Schubert Y. Zoom in, it does have a central peak in Schubert Y, actually several of them, and you can observe those, plus the rim craters at the bottom of your screen.
Roger, we're seeing the central peak quite clearly now.
Okay, we're zooming in now on a crater called Schubert N. Schubert N, very conical inside walls, and the bottom appears to be nearly flat.
Look at theta on the disky. It's stabilized and is holding steady now.
Roger.
Looking out the window, I can see a number of small craters on the bottom of Schubert N.
We're coming up on the Foaming Sea, where I'll be doing some P-22 marking on a crater of my choice, name of Crater Camp.
Okay, we'll be watching for Camp.
And notice Register 3 has reversed itself and is heading back the other way now without any pitch thruster firing.
Roger, Mike. We confirm that you've changed the direction of your pitch rate.
Speaking, the tendency seems to be to pull a limb down toward the center of the moon, as in a gravity gradient experiment.
Roger 11, we copy.
Or it may have something to do with mass times, or it may.
Roger, we've gotten.
It may have something to do with mass times, or it may just be the peculiarity of the disky display.
Okay, we've observed the behavior of your disky. I think we've got the data here to work on it. Let us grind around a little while on it, and we'll report back to you probably in a rev or two.
Okay, well, in the meantime, I'm going to pitch down toward 315.
Roger.
Three craters, three horizontal craters that you now have in the field of view are immediately underneath the ground track. The right hand and the largest crater that you see is Dubiago T.
Roger, we concur on the identification of that crater. We show you coming up on landmark Alpha 1 here shortly.
Roger, Mike's having his first look at Alpha 1 at the present time.
Yeah, there's a great bright crater. It's not a large one, but an extremely bright one. It looks like a very recent, and I would guess, impact crater with rays streaming out in all directions, which should make the foaming sea easy to see coming up on it. Now, Crater Camp is one of the smaller ones out on the floor of the foaming sea.
We've been some 17 minutes now into this television pass, standing by, continuing to monitor.
Okay, we show you over the Sea of Fertility now, and ought to have Langrenus down south of track a few degrees, about 9 degrees south of track.
Yeah, the crater that's in the center of the screen now is Webb. We'd be looking straight down on it at about 6 minutes before power descent. It has a relatively flat bottom to the crater, and you can see maybe two or three craters that are in the bottom of it. On the western wall, the wall that's now nearest to the camera, near the bottom of the screen, we can see a dimpled crater just on the outside. And then coming back toward the bottom of the screen and to the left, you can see a series of depressions. It's this type of connected craters that give us most interest to discover why they're in the particular patterns that they're in. I'll zoom the camera in and try and give you a little closer look at this.
Roger, we're observing the Dimple crater now. The central peak that we can see on the orbiter photos doesn't seem to stand out very well here.
Well, they're not central peaks. They're depressions in the center.
Roger.
And you'll notice on the pitch thruster activity, I put in a dozen minimum impulses and pitched down, and I'm still far from correcting back to 315. We're moving the camera over to the right window now to give you line grindness. It's several central peaks. And
Roger, we got line grindness in our screen now. Okay, 11, this is Houston. We're getting a beautiful picture of Langrenus now with its rather conspicuous central peak.
Sea of Fertility doesn't look very fertile to me. I don't know who named it. Well, it may have been named by the gentleman whom this crater was named after, Langrenus. Langrenus was a cartographer to the King of Spain, and made one of the early reasonably accurate maps of the moon.
Roger, that's very interesting.
I'll have to admit it sounds better for our purposes than the Sea of Crises.
Amen to that. Okay, looks like you're coming inside now on the camera.
Well, I can't get behind to see the monitor. I'll bring the focus in, but we're going to be looking down past one of the LEM quads and one of the antennas almost straight down at the ground track that we'll be seeing coming in. Now, I guess this is maybe 2 or 3 minutes before power descent. All right, that should put the LEM structure about in focus. Now I'm going to move it out to infinity and then expand the field of view. Crater Secchi is out my window now, window number two.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. We show you coming up on the Terminator at 7853, about 7 minutes from now. And we've also got the LOI-2 and TEI-5 pads ready for you after the TV, whenever you want to terminate, over.
Roger.
And we're getting a good view of the track leading into the landing site now. Okay, it looks like we had Secchi K
to
Y about 10 seconds ago, coming up on Apollo Ridge. And in the right-hand portion of our screen right now, we can see Messier, Alpha, and Bravo with the light-colored rays streaming off in one direction.
I don't know if you can make out, but in the Sea of Fertility, there are a number of craters that are just barely discernible, old craters whose outlines are just barely able to be seen.
Roger, I think we can make them out. The color really enhances our ability to discern features and craters over what we see in real time on our black and white monitor.
Right. At these low sun angles, there's no trace of brown. It's now returned to a very gray appearance, and the acre says, it has a look of plaster of Paris to it at this sun angle, which is completely lacking at higher sun angles.
Roger.
We're now some 25 minutes into our television pass.
Okay, this is very close to ignition point for power defense. Just passing Mount Maryland, that's a triangular-shaped mountain that you'll see in the center of the screen at the present time, with the crater Seki Theta on top of the far northern edge of the mountain.
Roger, we're getting a good view of Mount Maryland and of Seki Theta.
Now we're looking at what we call Boot Hill. Occurs 20 seconds into the descent.
Watching this pass with a great deal of interest in Mission Control Center is Pete Conrad, the commander for the Apollo 12 mission.
Right edge of the screen. Sensorinus T. Now passing the 1 minute point in power descent.
Roger, and for your information, your current altitude is 148 nautical miles above the surface.
What's your thinking?
I'm unable to determine altitude at all looking out the window. I couldn't tell whether we're down at 60 or up at 170.
I bet you could tell if you were down at 50,000 feet.
I wouldn't be surprised.
We're passing some steep ridges here, the edges of old craters that were photographed by Apollo 10, and the crew of Apollo 10 was very impressed with the steepness of these ridges when they came over them at about 50,000 feet.
Roger, we can observe they're also steep even from this altitude. You've got quite a shadow being cast by the sun at these low angles.
The entire surface is getting considerably darker than the surface that we looked at previously when the sun was quite high above us. The crater in the right crater in the center of the screen, the smaller one, is Sensorinus.
Roger, and we show you a little over 1 minute from the Terminator at the present time.
How's the brightness of the picture you're receiving? I think we ought to open up the f-stop some as we approach the Terminator.
The brightness is still doing quite well. You can go ahead and open it up a stop or two. The automatic light level compensation seems to be working beautifully.
That's a good picture of Boot Hill.
Roger.
3 minutes and 15 seconds into the descent.
Roger, we're seeing Boot Hill now.
And the next crater coming into the bottom, that's Duke Island right there, and to the left, the crater, the largest of the crater near the center of the picture right now is Maskelyne W. This is a position check during descent at about 3 minutes and 39 seconds, and it's our downrange position check and cross-range position check prior to yawing over face up to acquire the landing radar. At this point, we would be unable to see the surface below us until getting very near the landing area.
Roger, I imagine you get a real good look at that tomorrow afternoon.
Sinuous rail is the one that was referred to in Apollo 10 as Sidewinder.
Good name, too. Sidewinder Diamondback. Looks like a couple of snakes down there in the lake bed.
And we're approaching the Terminator now. See the crest increase, and only the sunlit side of the bridges remain illuminated, while the dark sides in the shadow will become completely black.
11, this is Houston. The picture is getting a little grainy now. You might go ahead and open up the f-stop.
Landing point is just barely into darkness. That one crater, the upper part of which you see, lower part completely in darkness, a small, well-defined crater is Mulkey, which is about a beam of the landing site.
Roger, we can just see it looks like a little less than half of its rim right now. And we can make out just barely some features on the surface, maybe from Earthshine. Are you wide open on the f-stop at this time?
Wherever you are. Yeah, and it looks like we're just about to get the sun coming into the lens, so we'll have to move the camera away.
Roger.
We can't see any Earthshine or any surface features at all in Earthshine now due to the fact that the limb is very bright and is causing our pupils to contract. It's a very fantastic view to see the Terminator as you look along the edge of it. I think you'll agree that some of these craters that you're seeing in the picture now are really accentuated by the lengthening of the shadows as they approach the Terminator.
Yes, it's a very beautiful and rugged sight that we've got on the screen now.
I think you got some interesting data on thruster firings versus pitch angle. It looks like that limb just wants to head down toward the surface is all.
Roger, I have a comment here that says that's what the limb was built for.
I believe.
Setting in the east.
There you have it, our first glimpse of the lunar surface during the Apollo 11 mission. The 11 crew took us on a guided tour of the front side, plus talked their way through the powered descent that lies ahead in tomorrow's activities. At 78 hours, 58 minutes into the flight of Apollo 11, this is Apollo Control Houston, continuing to monitor.